SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's time for another hour of your favorite sports gambling show.
What is this gonna be?
Moneyline.
No! Are you kidding me? I'm diddly D!
With the two best hosts to ever do it.
I love my contract. Love my teammates.
Donnie Wrightside.
Do what the Sixers did, Charlotte. Just win 7 games a year for 4 years. Eventually you'll find somebody and you'll be on the upswing again if it works out in your favor.
And Kevin Walsh.
Let me tell you how crazy talented the NBA is right now. I'm not even trying to get into a debate. He's not even the most talented offensive big man in the NBA right now, in my honest opinion.
Are you kidding?
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Who's ready for a little action on a Thursday afternoon? Right here, the best hour of your day. It's Moneyline. It's Donnie Wrightside. It is Kevin Walsh. It is Sirius XM Channel 159. Last night, many people were just saying, LeBron James, LeBron James, LeBron James, for a big victory over the Los Angeles Clippers, which I said you should be taking that +3.5. And not even myself, Kevin, was sweating at the start of the fourth quarter, knowing that King James would rescue the Lakers last night, get the win, get the cover, and then they might lose a game tonight to the San Antonio Spurs. Yes! Welcome to the Lakers season, Kevin. Welcome.
Wizards, but point stands.
Wizards, there you go. Yeah, same thing.
But again, point stands. I think it was one of those interesting things, DRS. I also thought, and I don't think this very often, but it was a good spot for the Lakers, catching the 3.5. It is hard to come on them and be like, see? Easy. I mean, they were down 20. LeBron had to outscore the Clippers on his own in the fourth quarter, which was a remarkable performance. Probably one of the single most impressive performances any player has offered up this season. So, yeah, I mean, what can you say? This is a Lakers team that is going to be in the play-in. And I don't know. It's hard to see it going any other way. And if that's the case, then they're going to rely on that guy right there, LeBron James, to get him out of the play-in and get him into the real playoffs.
Reliant there. I don't think Utah is going to be able to catch up and, like, let's just say, push the Lakers or the Golden State Warriors out of that final play-in spot. But I'll tell you what, if you're looking at basketball teams that really rely on their superstars, like, yeah, I understand. The NBA does a lot of that. The Dallas Mavericks last night, once again, just getting big performances by Luka Doncic and also Kyrie Irving yesterday in a win north of the border after that absolutely ridiculous loss to the German-born Max Strus and the boys. I mean, come on now. Cleveland pulled that one out the night before. Unbelievable, which I wanted to segue into this. You know, we were going over on the early line, and Ben kept bringing up the point like, hey, this is the second longest buzzer beater in NBA history. I'm like, hold on now. It's basically a half-court shot. What does that even mean? They go, oh, yeah. That's right. The NBA has the dumbest rule in the history of the planet by you call a timeout and get the ball basically at your own free throw line on the opposite end. Are we being robbed? Like, we don't get robbed in college basketball with the unbelievable finishes. No. Like, we would see that way more. Let me throw this in here, too. Max Strus is probably the only guy on that team. Cleveland's probably like, you know what? I'm not taking that shot. You want that shot? I don't want that shot. What do you mean? So you could be a hero over here. I don't want that shot because I don't want it going against my stats. Even if it means we're going to win the basketball game, Max, you take it because you're the only one that wants to do it. And he made it. Congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, again, good for him. No, we're not riled of anything. Plenty of NBA teams, too, also will let their guys tank it, get the full court. We just get a good plays drawn up. So, no, this has always been a silly complaint of yours. I mean, we can move on, I think, right? Or
no. It has to be the worst rule, though. I mean, again, it just resonated in my mind going, like, how is, like, the second longest buzzer beater ever a half-court shot? It doesn't even make sense. Like, you should have thousands of buzzer beater shots in the backcourt in the NBA, but we get robbed on a dumb rule. Again, on the NFL, wouldn't it be great to have a kickoff with 10 seconds to go, catch it in the end zone, Kevin? Call timeout. Get on the opposite 30. And be like, you know what? Just won the football game. I mean, come on now.
I mean, yeah, but Don, like, it's just what the rule is. Also in the NBA, like, the possessions aren't as valuable. Field position isn't as valuable. I mean, the NBA, Donnie, they would simply just do what they do in college, but they would do it more effectively. They'd throw it across half court and call the same timeout. So, again, you wouldn't be fixing anything. You're complaining about nothing.
They're not throwing it in the front court easily and just calling a timeout.
Yes, they
stop.
Are. Yes, they are.
Absolutely they brutal. Are. Absolutely. Yes, they want to do that in college basketball all the time. Why do we see so many just janky triples from behind? I love it. I think because the one thing I always get angry at, it's not the actual play itself. It's we're going to benefit the losing team in this instance, which is why, like in the NFL, I love the new onside kick rule. You can't get it. You're not supposed to get it. What the hell is the onside kick here? Just letting a bad football team back in the game on some janky rule again, as I like to say. I love the fact that nobody can get the onside kick because it penalizes the team that actually won the basketball game and played better. Hey, let's give them an extra chance at the end of it. No, nonsense. Make them go the entire length of the court, and if they make it, they'll win, but they're not supposed to make it, and then that's what adds to all the fun of, wow, look at that long shot here, because March Madness is coming up. We are going to see a boatload of bomb triple shots when you're down one or two points and you got to go 75 feet. I love it.
I think you're also wildly overstating some, like, the boatload of shots that we see in college go in. And again, who cares? Like, the idea that the Max Strus thing would happen on a nightly basis,
it'd be awesome.
It wouldn't. And again, it's not like this is not some problem in the NBA. This is not some complaint that literally anybody else has. And there's still plenty of buzzer beaters, and they're all awesome. Like, and in fact, those buzzer beaters are far less luck. Like, it, I mean, the Max Strus shot is, let's be honest, it's more luck-driven than anything.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, who can, again, this is the one of the most useless conversations.
No, it's not. And thank God the college basketball, which does a lot of things right, which includes making you actually earn a W. And I appreciate that. I do. Because, again, on the heels of March Madness, which Monday,
the
Kevin,
idea that you
the
A-Sun
starts
earn a
up.
W in half yeah. court is one yes. of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
The fact that I can knock down a shot and go up 1 point with 1.2 seconds left to go, and I'm like, you know what? I don't even think I won this game. Because the other team's going to get a clean look down in their own side of the basket. That's
how
ridiculous.
How clean is the look if you defend it? What are we talking about?
Well, get defended on your own baseline. Game's over. You make that shot with 1 second to go. You played that game perfect.
Yeah, okay. So
the other team should not be able
job,
to call a timeout
good, yeah,
and get it down
job.
To the other free throw
over.
Line.
Good job. The
it's
game
over.
Isn't over. The NBA
exactly.
does better. Everyone should copy the rule. Great job. The NBA is getting more out of their product. Excellent.
Mm-mm.
Great spot.
Losing it.
They've nailed
losing it.
It.
Even
oh.
Mark Cuban said, now's the time to get out and sell. Like, downfall of the NBA, one of the reasons there. And also, you know what I was looking at today, which made me just crazy? The team in first place in the Western Conference is the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm-hmm.
9-1 price to win the West. And I was trying to, like, come up with, like, ways and reasoning. Like, let's just say through 75% of the season. Like, can you imagine, like, in the NFL, like, the San Francisco 49ers are in first place of the NFC, and they're basically 10-1 to win their own conference. It's wild. Like, I'm trying to, like, brainstorm. Like, I don't know if the NBA needs to say, okay, 82 games is way too much. We got to cut it down to 42 games. I don't know. But how can you have the best team in your conference basically an afterthought when you think teams are going to actually cut down the nets and win a championship? It's wild. Like, we just want an NBA spree today, lining it up. But you know what? Got some good NBA games on tonight. And also, your boy DRS going to be on a little Boogie Ellis action a little bit later tonight, boys. Get ready. We're here for the next hour right here on Monday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't get your phone confiscated in jail, people. Calm down out there. Listen to boys right here. It's Moneyline. It's the best hour of your day. It's Donnie and Kevin. Hot takes, hot topics. You know the deal. We'll get to some NBA action on the court tonight, as well as some NCAA action, which I teased, hint, hint, little USC action tonight up on the Palouse. But before we get there, the combine is going on right now in the NFL. And the reason I'm going to bring that up is not because I really care about guys bench pressing, jumping high, and running fast. I like the information that comes out of it and also the hot takes, Kevin, that accompany it. I don't know if you were watching yesterday, but a certain pundit on ESPN that usually likes every single player and never has a bad thing to say about anybody said yesterday as follows. Yeah, if I'm the Chicago Bears, I'm taking Jaden Daniels number one overall. Can we, what are we thinking about that? And what do we think about hot take season right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think Jaden Daniels is the type of player that could push any prospect. Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence, Andrew Luck. Because Jaden Daniels, Donnie, especially in this era, has something that, I mean, again, it's Lamar-esque, and Lamar just rattled off his second MVP, and, you know, that is, it's something you can't teach, it's something you can't coach, and it's something that is very difficult to stop. And the thing about Jaden is he had an incredible season throwing the football at LSU, and he's coming off of winning a Heisman Trophy, so, you know, it's right in people's face. If Caleb was able to leave last year, you know, we'd doing this, and Jaden would be going first overall, possibly. I mean, I guess he's, you know, it's still him versus Drake May for that second spot, which is interesting. But yeah, people love Jaden Daniels, Donnie, because the upside of it all just feels, you know, otherworldly. And that's tempting for people. It's very, very tempting for people.
He could have been a number one pick last year. He really could. And we also had this conversation. Yeah, we also had this conversation about, you know, generational type players like that you can see coming along. And to me, just going back since Peyton Manning in 1998, there's only been maybe two players that have been as hyped as Caleb Williams coming into this draft. So I understand why people get up there and act the fool and say nonsense, but there's no way the Chicago Bears, like, think about this. And also, like, I love the Justin Fields angle of this. But Justin was like, hold on, get this straight. I'm leaving town, and you're not even going to take Caleb Williams. It's going to be Jaden Daniels. Like, I would love that backlash. We're like, you know what? Now I'm just angry. Trade me anywhere. I can't believe this happens. But I understand. You'd have nothing to talk about. If every network just comes on, Kevin, and goes, Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams, Caleb Williams, there's no fun in it. So you do need some villains out there and some writers behind the scenes. Okay, you know what? What makes a good television show? Go out there and tell them you like Jaden Daniels better than Caleb Williams at this point. So I do respect hot take season overall. But I understand that. But there's also people that believed, you know, some other nonsense conspiracy theories that are wild out here. Like, some people actually believe, Kevin, we landed on the moon, right? It's crazy. We never landed on the moon at this point. Similar aspect of it here. Stop the madness at this point. The best overall quarterback in this draft. Last, we had what? Trevor Lawrence was a generational type player, we thought, right? And maybe he still can be that. I'm not even going to have the list in front of me. Peyton Manning, 1998. Andrew Luck, 2012. Outside of that, there's been no more hyped quarterback in the last almost 30 years than Caleb Williams outside those two players.
I'm not saying that that's wrong, but that doesn't mean that people haven't fought. People, Donnie, like, the Jaden Daniels stuff is very real. Like, Drake May doesn't have the game-breaking attributes to get.
He doesn't.
But there are some people who think that Drake May, Donnie, is still the best prospect in this class. It's much less, right? But Drake May doesn't have game-breaking attributes that rocket him to the top of the board. I'm not saying I prefer Jaden Daniels, but what I'm saying is the notion that, and you're referring to Orlovsky, said. Yes. And I didn't even hear him. I just know that that's how you refer to Orlovsky, as always says the nice thing. Mm-hmm. The idea that he is doing it just for television is nonsense.
I don't know. Because what else would you? Because if you put yourself in the Bears' shoes, right, and they say they like Jaden Daniels better than Caleb, which means you trade the number one overall pick, go down to two or three, and you take Caleb Williams. That's your plan. Or excuse me, you take Jaden Daniels. But if I'm telling you right now, like, and again, the Bears are a horribly run organization. But I always like to view it like if I was the owner, like, hey, football guys, do your thing. And it would be like, okay, we just drafted Jaden Daniels number one. I'd be like, get your stuff. I'm actually having a lawsuit against you. And I'm going to petition the NFL to go ahead and reverse that pick and let us just take the guy we're supposed to take at this point. Like, I love the hot takes they come in. And I'm not even, I'm intrigued with Jaden Daniels. But the fact of the matter is he's not the number one overall pick this year. He's not even close. close to it. Look at all the betting markets at this point as well. But I understand it's a, and one or two guys is going to have that opinion. Same thing as always. Like, you have endless arguments on LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and somebody will be like, hey, Kobe's the best. There's always that Kobe guy out there. Kobe's not the best. He's not even close to LeBron James or Michael Jordan at this point. So I do like the hot takes, but I just love that aspect of, yeah, here's what it's going to be. But again, leave it up to Orlovsky by, what, March 6th? Say, you know what? Caleb Williams is the best. And then he'll probably go Drake May next week just to keep that lantern going right up until the draft before he finally comes around to Caleb Williams. But I just wanted to start there at that point where I love hot take season because we hear everything going around there. Hey, this guy runs fast. This guy's really good. And by the way, Jaden Daniels talked to 17 teams this draft. Ooh, what's he supposed to do? Talk to one team, two teams at this point? I like Jaden Daniels. He's going to be solid. And also, Kevin, just to bring Jaden Daniels back into this, word on the street is the New England Patriots are thinking about drafting a quarterback number 3 overall is what their general manager said. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but I also saw that the Pats and Commanders are considering moving down. So are we firmly in, like, turn your phone off of the structure?
We're almost there. We're like, almost there.
I don't know. If you're the here's the thing. Quarterback is so important that if you are the New England Patriots at 3 and you have incredibly high draft grades on all 3 of these quarterbacks, stop with the picking up the phone nonsense.
Yes.
There's nothing to listen to. You're drafting one of the quarterbacks. And I mean, the reality, though, is, Donnie, and this I will agree with you on, this process is so broken. They're like, well, we got to get to this guy's pro day. I mean, we got to see what happens when he throws to a wide-open Malik Nabers, 50 yards down the field on his knees before I know if I want this kid.
Yes, or the old, well, he wasn't that accurate on his pro day, but all he kept doing was overthrowing everybody by 75 feet to show all crazy arm strength that he had. Yeah. But that's, like, I hate the combine so much, I sort of love it, because I get this type of information out where most teams say nothing. But most also, while they're trying to say nothing, they trip themselves up. Like, we know, like, the New England Patriots think, like, the number 4, like, we're going to trick the number 4 team and the number 2 team out. Like, maybe they think they can trade down. Like, you know, we're just going to take a wide receiver. No, New England Patriots are going to move on from Mac Jones and take a quarterback. It's okay to say that, which is also refreshing when you take a look at guys like, Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah, who is the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, basically coming out, Kevin. And what's he saying? Like, we have the best wideout in football. We're going to pay him like the best wideout in football. Heck, he might get paid like one of the quarterbacks out here. We love him so much. It's like, wow, you're putting all your cards on the table. And that's like, you know what? I sort of respect that, because nobody's going to believe you when you come out and say, like, hey, we could trade the guy. You know, I don't know. He's still under contract. We hope he shows up to training camp. So there is that little bit of refreshingness that I do like about it. But the combine itself, have you paid any attention to it yet? By the way, is anybody even working out yet? Are they working out yet? Are we running fast? What are we doing at the combine?
I mean, they're measuring people. I mean, who cares? I mean, truly. But then, can't you, like, bet on the combine now, though? Isn't that a thing?
I don't know. Is there something like, does FanDuel have a combine, like, legally or offshore?
No,
like, what are we talking about here?
No, I don't think the locals are handling it. I think
maybe they are.
I mean, honestly, they might as well, right? Let's see if I can find this.
No, I see draft. I don't see anything that says, like,
there was like a special on
what'd it be, like, who runs the fastest or something?
Yeah, I thought it was if anybody would, like, break the record for, like, fastest 40 time or something was on one of these books.
Jeez, incredible. Yeah. But that, the combine underway in the worst city in America, Indianapolis, for a party atmosphere. And by the way, you know who agrees with me with that, Kevin? Ben Stevens now, coming over to my side. We don't like Indy. Push everything out of Indy. Flavors up everything. By the way, I'm going to talk a little Page 6 news next. There's some wild stories going around in the NFL right now. Let's get to it next, Donnie, Kevin. Right here, Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's Spring training baseball, people, on my TV right now on the MLB Network. The Philadelphia Phillies 1, Toronto 0. I've got a couple hot topics to talk about here. By the way, in Major League Baseball, around, I don't know if it's a big deal around baseball, but here in Philadelphia, I wanted to bring it up because it's making national rounds, Kevin. One of the things that people get really excited for, to go down the Citizens Bank Ballpark, watch the Phillies play, and hit up a dollar dog night. For anybody who doesn't know what that is, eat as many hot dogs as you want. Each hot dog is $1. People go down there, try to stack them up, eat 5, eat 10, eat 20, whatever. The Philadelphia Phillies announced, though, Kevin, here's what I like, too. They announced dollar dog night is going away, and it's going to turn into buy one full price, get one for free. And the Phillies are saying it's because of the mayhem at the ballpark because people would buy hot dogs and throw them. So many people getting angry at that, and myself included, tweeting back saying, just admit it. You can't make any money on dollar dog night, and you probably lose some money at the concessions. And heaven forbid a trillion-dollar business can't make any money on one night that the fans absolutely love. Your thoughts on the Phillies getting rid of dollar dog night because they said their own fans, which would be guys like me, don't like dollar dog night because people were throwing hot dogs. What do you think?
Well, I think question number one, were they throwing hot dogs on dollar dog night? That's the first question, Don.
But I've never heard of that. Like, I don't like it. It was never like, hey, let's get a video. And maybe people were throwing them. Same thing. Well, hey, this guy threw a beer on him. People throw beer on $20 beer nights every night at the ballpark. There's no way you would do away with one thing that the fans love just about as much as their team itself, Kevin, than dollar dog night in Philadelphia, for them to be like, look, we spoke to our fans. They don't like it. And everybody's like, we actually love this. Don't worry about it. You don't like it, and it's going away.
I don't even...
Now, what would you do with dollar dog night's the question.
I don't like hot dogs. So,
oh, my gosh. I don't even understand this. Why, though? Why don't we like hot dogs?
I don't find them that tasty. I don't know. The taste isn't for me.
I mean, big men around the world upset right now.
Dollar ice cream night? Well, you know, it's a good time.
Well, I don't know. What else? Yeah, what else could we like? Dollar pretzel? See, dollar pretzel. Yeah, look at that. I mean, JP popping in here. I mean, how many ice creams we put in the way at that point?
I mean, on a
dollar ice coffee night for you? I mean, come on now.
That's a good time. I saw today there's 4x boost on the Dunkin' app today because it's leap day.
Wow.
Do you care about the leap day?
I do, because it makes me feel like this is the longest month in the history of the world, as I keep saying March is around the corner, and it's never. Mm. Or I'm not even so sure tomorrow's March at this point. I've been trying to extend February out so far here. But also, yes, Chipotle said it was leap year, so they wanted to give me free guac today. So looks like everybody's supporting free day on leap day. But again, The Phillies coming out, no dollar dog night, set to do some...
Yep.
Destruction here in the city. Now, I want to get to this football topic here because it's page 6. And so what the hell does that mean, Donnie, page 6? Like New York Post or the Daily News, whatever, page 6. It's where they go to like the, you know, celebrities, hearsay and all that good stuff. They used to have some salacious stuff. I don't know if you've been following the NFL here, Kevin, but it's been pretty wild. I don't know if you remember. This had to be in a month ago. Tyreek Hill was in the news. And it was just a wild story. And the story went as follows, basically, if I'm just, you know, surmising it here. Look, I don't know. My lawyers just filed divorce for me. Like, that's, I didn't want a divorce, but somehow my lawyers signed my name and I'm getting a divorce, but I'm really not. And people are like, what do you mean your lawyers filed divorce? And me, as a guy that loves to see where there's smoke, where there's fire, I was like, yeah, that's just kind of odd. I don't even know what to think about that, but I'm not even going to think too much about it. Well, little do we know, Kevin, like a month and a half later, Tyreek's got like 3 different baby mamas filing suit against him for like young children. Yeah. So that came out. And I was like, you know what? Maybe there was something to the wife probably filing for divorce or whatever it might be, as Tyreek Hill now has massive paternity suits. And also, Kevin, if you're not following along in this game, he flew in an Instagram model and played like backyard football with her. And the lawsuit now filed against Tyreek Hill is she held her ground versus Tyreek Hill, who then got so upset, he proceeded in the next drill to break her leg. That's the lawsuit.
This is all news to me. It all sounds It all sounds pretty bad. I'm pretty speechless on that.
Can you imagine like that? Like, I mean, there's sometimes you just get caught in a bad light. But again, if you just go on like Twitter, X, social media, and type in like Tyreek Hill, broken leg or whatever it is, playing backyard football with an Instagram model where she is now suing because she broke her leg because he was upset once again that she held her ground in the first drill against him. I mean, it writes itself here. I mean, what an offseason Tyreek Hill is having. Now, also the other one, Kevin, Page Six wise, is Jerry Jones out here in these streets. Once again getting sued from the 1990s on a paternity suit. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this up is I find this interesting. Like, let's just say, I don't know, 1993, 1994, Jerry Jones has a kid out of wedlock, right? Come to an agreement, and I think the agreement, Kevin, was in the 90s. Like, we're going to give you, the mom, $375,000, like maybe a stipend until she's like 21 or whatever. So now the kid, where again, not a kid anymore, I think 27, 28 years old, is now back in the news going like, I need to get a paternity test. And the reason is like, well, Jerry Jones's family has given her and her family millions already. But she wins this, Kevin? What are the Cowboys worth in Jerry Jones? Like $10 billion overall with all his other businesses? Like, if she wins that, that's like a Powerball ticket at this point. Like, they could even, like, I meant, like, we've given her $4 million since 1995. She's like, yeah, that's fine, but I get another $996 million probably coming to me if it turns out you are my dad. It's wild, this story.
I mean, he'd be able to afford it. Right? What's he going to do?
The other kid's mad? Like, the dad, like, Jerry Jones won't be mad, right? Exactly, because he's going to, you know, give it down the line to his kids anyway when he's gone. But if you're like Stephen Jones, what are you looking at? Your bank account? Like, hold on now. I'm supposed to get a little bit more than this. I can't have this happen here. But would you get like a billion, I guess, if you were an equal share of what your father had? It'd be wild to see that happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Is that how that works? Do they? Do
I don't.
It
that's
for
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Because you know what her lawsuit actually is, which is such an oddity to come out was like, I didn't agree to this. Like, these terms were set up like before I was actually born. So the mom's like, okay, $375, and you know who knows how much a year, and we'll set aside money for education, whatever it is. But she's basically overruling. Goes like, I've never had that decision here, and probably rightfully so. Like, okay, my bank account says $500,000 when it probably should say $500 million at this point, but. Those are the Page Six news of the day here, Kevin. I thought I'd get you caught up. You had a day off. Maybe you're not paying attention to all the things you need to pay attention to in these streets, which means...
What a segment.
Yeah, go ahead. Yes,
no,
spin
what,
on
what
it.
A what segment. What a segment of topics.
Now, look, if you were in the backyard breaking people's legs, I mean, that's believable now. Because I saw it out there live in Las Vegas where, you know, somebody's not expecting to go hard on a football drill. They get surprised a little bit, and nobody got hurt, but, you know, maybe some feelings got hurt out there in Vegas.
Feelings were hurt. He was fine, though. I tell you what, he was prepared for anyone else that was going to come his way. Good old Joe Lisi, man. He was not.
Joe Lisi.
He was none too pleased, though. About getting popped, but it had to happen.
It did. Sometimes you got to set some people straight on set. Worked out well. Everybody's still friends, and away we go. Now, it's a good segue with Joe Lisi going down a little Maxwell Ward action as you see it around the network, which also could include conversations of, hey, we just got the 12, Kevin. Now we could be going to 14 teams in the college football playoff, which you know me. I hear that right away, and I go, oh, this is awesome. This is so, so good. And yet this morning we had a conversation on it, like how this could actually play out. Now, I don't know how close they are to approving this. It's on the docket. I don't know. But let's just say it goes through. And I say to myself automatically, Kevin, like, ooh, great. I hope this is. Let's put the best 14 teams in the country into a college football playoff. And then you see 14 teams with automatic bids, which immediately makes me pull my hair out because that means undeserving automatic bids from conferences where there's better teams and they get to go. But I say to myself, Kevin, why do we do this to ourselves? It's not us. It's whoever is in, like, the college football. I think they play like a prank on us. They get behind closed doors and like, watch this, man. Like, we're going to sort of give them something, but we're going to double down and make it even dumber than what it was before. Why automatic bids here in this 14? Why?
I don't know. It's kind of funny because, again, it does find a way to upset everyone to some degree, right? Because, you know, you and I at this point would prefer them just keep it open-ended. And then I still don't really understand the people like, ha-ha! See? Now we're going to have a bunch of SEC and Big Ten teams. Well, of course we are. SEC and the Big Ten have all the good damn teams. Donnie and I's issue isn't that all those teams are getting in.
Correct.
That we're now capping how many of them are going to get in, potentially. Yes. Two teams from the Big 12. What is going on here? So that's just the confusion. But I will say this. It was one of those things. I made this point plenty when we were on the show. When Ben tweeted out, based on the national championship odds, mm-hmm. how the college football playoff would look, I went, whoa, 10 teams. Basically the maximum, Donnie.
Yeah.
We're from the SEC or the Big Ten. There's no way that happens. They're all going to beat one another. And I think somewhere in this conversation they went, they're not going to put us all in. They're going to put in three teams from the ACC or basically what they're signing up for is what was going to happen anyway, which mm-hmm. was two ACC teams, two Big 12 teams, this group of five team. I think the ACC or the SEC and the Big Ten think, look, we're going to get all of our auto bids and we're going to take all the at-large bids.
It's going to be wild to watch it play out. I mean, what's next? We're going to get the service academies two spots in this 14 teams. I mean, make it make sense at this point. It always seems like something they're going to work on to make it better, and somehow gets me even more angry. Bring back the BCS or the mythical national championships. We're back next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it. Hot topics there. College football expansion. I love it. Expanded all the way up to 24 or 32 teams. Mm. We'll get a kick out of it here. But watch. They'll do like a... You know what, Donnie? We'll give you your dream scenario. We'll give you 24 teams. But
teams.
Yeah, exactly. 20 automatic bids for conferences and then the rest four on top of it, as opposed to saying who's in... Like you said, like the top 25. Number one team gets a bye. That's their reward. So there's like, you know, still an even number of teams playing with the 24 there, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's too easy to figure out how to do it, and yet they mess it up. And you know what's even going to be even better, Kevin? One of the bane of my existence is the college football playoff show every year, because it's nonsense, it's ridiculous, and none of it matters until the last show itself. So next year, I can only imagine the shenanigans that they are going to try to pull by saying, like, hey, well, even though Alabama's number one overall in the country, we got them ranked in the 15th spot here. Like, oh, here we go again. Just make up the rules as you go at this point. So I'm going to ask you the question before we flip it over to college basketball and the NBA. Next year, college football, big win or, ooh, I don't know if this is so good anymore.
I mean, next year,
I'm talking like
win.
Seasonal excitement,
okay.
Playoffs so, itself,
yeah.
And what we're supposed to get.
It is still going to be a win. But I want to say this. So Donnie's disdain for the college football playoff ranking show is not something I've necessarily agreed with, because to me, we're checking in on the committee. There are actual takeaways. Donnie disagrees. That's fine. I genuinely believe they should completely get rid of it, just like the NCAA basketball tournament, and do their own one final selection show.
Ooh,
because you know what's a disaster, Donnie? The AP top 25 poll. Yeah. Gonzaga is currently on the bubble. They're 23rd in the poll. There's no consistent. UConn lost one basketball game, dropped down to three. And Houston and Purdue jumped them. Who the hell did Purdue beat? Stop the madness. They lost to Ohio State. Okay, cut it out. But we do this stupidness because every week we do the AP poll, so we just got to start moving stuff around. And when that committee comes out and they give us their first set of rankings, there's going to be some major problems. And I'm going to tell you this now. And when Donnie goes, who cares, tune into the last one. I'm telling you right now, I'll use my own. You're a Notre Dame fan, and you notice you're behind a team you shouldn't be behind. Guess what? Nightmare scenario. Nightmare scenario. Because now we have to use this thing in week 9 the whole way. or week 8 or week 7 or whenever it is that it comes out. And that's not how this works. They're somehow taking all of the worst things, Donnie, from college basketball, and none of the correct things. They're like, okay, automatic bids, you know, the thing that we use for all the bad conferences, let's use them for our best conferences. Like, what are you doing? The fact that they have their, like, beautiful grand final selection show, you know, we want to do 15 of them. Donnie, imagine if every single week Joe Lunardi came out and did bracketology, but it was like the actual real thing.
The real
one. What are you doing, Joe? Sit down and just wait for this to play out. But instead, we have to do this nonsense.
Yep. And it's fine because the point you bring up is valid. It's fine for the talking heads and the pundits to come on and say, well, I think Florida State should be in. I think Alabama should be in. I think Georgia should be in. That's what we're used to here. But it was an officially sanctioned show every week by the quote-unquote playoff slash BCS that let us know what was going on, even though we had like 5 weeks to let things play out and try to stir up like fake controversies by, I used to always say, like, okay, this is going to put a team at 3 because they were at 4 last week to get the people talking. Knowing that none of it matters at this point anyway. But you're right. If Joe Lunardi, an official sanctioned NCAA television show, was telling you 1 week that like Gonzaga is on the way out, or you know St. Joseph's in Philadelphia was making a move and that was in the final four to get in, I mean, come on now. We would think that was an absolute joke and nobody would watch. But yet again, some people would probably watch and get all banged up and upset. All right, let's get over to some college basketball action. Last night on the hardwood, interesting stuff all the way around, which included Tennessee, 92-84 over Auburn, and probably the game of the night. Two top 11 teams firing out. Tennessee does pick up the win. Tennessee looking to win the SEC, but on the way out, Kevin, at Alabama, at South Carolina, home to Kentucky to end it. So, like, I love the fact that they've won, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in a row here, and certainly beating a ranked team in Auburn, but that was the only ranked team they had beaten since, what, Kentucky. Roughly, what, maybe a month ago at that point. Do you think Tennessee, because going over Tennessee's numbers, right, you see what they're worth, like, on the FanDuel Sportsbook, and I don't know, let's just say 15-1, 20-1, under 20-1, right? Or 20-1 or less. Mm-hmm. It's one of those teams I'm not really looking at for the NCAA tournament, but I don't know, maybe I should be at this point. What are your thoughts on Tennessee, though, overall?
Yeah, I gave up on Tennessee and Maui, watching them play against Kansas. And I they're not going to get me to buy back in. I don't trust them, ultimately. The thing is, though, I'm a big proponent of the SEC this season. I think the SEC is actually the best league in college basketball. I know that nobody agrees with that. It's fine. But I think it is the SEC. And if they're going to go out here and be SEC regular season champions with a 12-3 record in this conference, but they do have two big games left that they got to be able – now. Look, I don't think South Carolina's all ranked. That good, Donnie. But I don't think South Carolina's like all that good. I mean, maybe you disagree. For them, in this run here, though, what do you want to see? You can't go 0-3, but they won't go 0-3, right?
Yes.
You know, 1-2 is acceptable. Yeah. If they go 2-1, the thing is, they can absolutely push Arizona for the one seed, you know? Mm-hmm. Because also, the Pac-12's not that good, right? So Tennessee, if they grab two wins here and they win the SEC's conference tournament, they're going to end up being the number one overall seed. And there's markets for that, too. I don't know if they're still out, but I've seen them a few times. Let me see if I can find them.
For what? Markets for what?
To be a number one seed. Right, here you go.
Yeah, no, they're out there still.
Arizona -110, Tennessee +125.
Yeah. It's tough one, man. That's a tough string all the way out. And then you still have the SEC conference championship at that point. But I'm always like, I'm the opposite. Like, if I like Tennessee, I'm like, go at least 1-2 down the stretch. Like, stop gassing it up. Like, Kentucky, I wanted them to lose a couple games. And even though they did win their last game, it didn't improve their standing. Because, again, how much can you lift them up from that 30-1 price point? And also, we had some fun talking when Joe Ranieri came on this morning. I was asking the question, like, man, for like 3 weeks, I'm like, hey, man, Kentucky. Even though they weren't playing well about 3 weeks ago, like, this is a team that really has that front-end talent that can go on a run. And then the FanDuel Sportsbook yesterday puts out that tweet and says basically, hey, by the way, everybody's on Kentucky, so good luck with that. Yeah. Like, sheesh. So you know our guy Joe Lisi would be like, hey, you know what? I like Kentucky. And then finds out that everybody's on Kentucky. Then we start going like, I wonder who else in the SEC we can take. Maybe it's Auburn. You know, maybe we go over to Big 12 with Baylor. Maybe we take a run at that point here. Filipowski and the boys were back on the court yesterday. Duke 84-59 over Louisville. An easy winning cover. And you say like, hey, well, was that number, 5, 6, 7, 8 points. Now, Louisville stinks. It was like over 20 points or close to 20 at that point where Duke got the cover. Filipowski played. You know, that's another team. Looking at the Duke Blue Devils, like NCAA-wise, I'm not really hot on them right now. They got a good record, a solid team, but in a down ACC.
Yeah, the thing is, though, you know, Duke is one of those teams that had a lot of preseason expectations, DRS. So, you know, if you feel like they're playing good basketball at the right time, that's certainly a team you can buy into, right? Shire, was Shire's last year his first year, Donnie?
This is right? Shire's first year, isn't it?
No.
Is it this year? No, last year was?
No. Coach K's last year is when he lost in the Final Four to UNC, which is quite hilarious.
Let me see. John Shire. Let me see. Yeah, it's like the perfect way to send them out. Let me see when he was. You're probably right, though. You're probably right.
What did Duke do in the tournament last year is the real question, though. What did we get out of Shire year one tournament-wise?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I know. Wrong guy.
Did they even make the tournament? That's what I would say.
You know what? Remember that stretch where like none
what's
of the
this
good,
AC,
like,
they were ACC tournament
they lost
champions
to Tennessee,
last year.
See?
So.
That's why. I knew it. Yeah, they lost to Tennessee last year. Man, 65-52 in that game. They were a 5 seed. Now, see, like that, and that's one of those things. If you were Shire, like you got to hope to get better because Rick Barnes is known for as a guy you don't really want to trust. Come
Correct.
Tournament time, right? So that's one of the questions you have to ask yourself. But Duke, I feel like, Don, if you're going to want to bet this team, you want to see them beat North Carolina in that final game, right? Yes. At home, like, that's got to be – that's one – they're going to be
maybe
favored.
Win the ACC.
Laying, what, 5-6 in that game?
Yeah, you need that game. I don't trust. Like, it's one of those teams that get, because it's almost like sometimes to me, it's not who you can, like, do I think that Connecticut, Houston, and Purdue can win the championship? Absolutely. I might end up going one of those teams on that line, but I sort of try to find, like, that second level value. Tennessee's 13-1. I'm not even that high, quite frankly, on North Carolina, to be honest, at 20-1. A team like Marquette had a big win last night. Now, also, Kolick got injured in that game. Abdominal injury. Don't know how long he's going to be out. Hopefully, it's not serious. But that's one of those teams that I really like. Great guard play. Can play defense. And at times when they need to, can shoot the lights out. Auburn, also looking at them, 22-1 price in a way. Kentucky, as I've already said, 30-1 price at this point. Also, you know, it's creeping back into my life. It's actually Baylor at 40-1. Because I just think that season-long-wise, top 10 in the country in three-point shots here, they've given you glimpses of when they match up with good basketball teams and can beat them, maybe in a slightly down year for them. I like those price points there down that low. Now, longer shots, I mean, Florida, BYU, I don't know about them.
Do you ever bet teams to make the Final Four, Donnie, or you always want the national title prize?
Usually it's a national title, but again, technically, I just want the biggest number because there's a really good chance that, like, I'm already halfway out by the time we get to the Final Four. So theoretically, yes, like, I would be betting Baylor to get to the Final Four, but I just take a look. It's like, if things break my way, I want to hold that bigger ticket if I need it.
So Baylor plus 950, right, Donnie? If you bet them to get to the Final Four, right? Let's say they get to the Sweet 16. Do you start working off that number then with two games to go? Or do you need to get to the... Because if you get to the Elite Eight, that's the final game. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yeah, I think in that scenario, I probably do wait because you're not dealing with... Let's just say, again, you took Baylor 40-1. You have a lot more money to deal with. So your hedging can start much earlier out. The profit you really dig into. And again, the only goal here I ever make when I take futures is to make sure I get a profit. It's just how much am I going to take? And quite frankly, I am never going to see the finality of a 25, 35, or 40-1 ticket. Yeah, I won $4,000. Yeah, I did, but I already laid off $1,300. But still, I'll take it off a $100 wager. So yeah, I see what you're saying. Like, hey, would you take it there? But I just like to, because also, sometimes you never know, Kevin, how things wind up. Like, oh, you know what? Let me take Baylor to get to the Final Four. I think all they have to do is beat Illinois, just throwing a team out there. Like, sure. Oh, wait a second. Illinois just got upset. Now Baylor's going to play like a mid-major here that they should be able to handle and now be the favorite in that game when I thought they might have been the dog. That's why I like the bigger prices, because if I fall into good luck, then you might be able to roll another game out there and steal some more money.
See, and that again, like that's what makes it so interesting as to... But with the UConn ticket, Donnie, you didn't start doing anything until the Final Four.
I don't think I did anything to the Final Four. Yes, I actually.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I started to hedge it. What was the, again, I get confused with this one. Who did Miami beat? Miami, Texas, mm-hmm. last year, because I had a future on Texas. I started hedging a little bit there, but even in the final, like, I probably had the best case scenario that anybody could ever wind up in, right? A 25-1 ticket, technically, sitting in the final game and being favored by like 8 or 9 points. It was outrageous. And I was like, I don't care. Like, I laid off, like, I don't know, $800. Actually, it was $500 I laid off, because the money line was so good the other way. It was like, hey, I'll still get $1,500 back, because they were crazy dogs here. One more segment to go right here on the Moneyline Edition. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Diggity, mm-hmm. Oh, good song.
Right back at it. Final segment of the day. I mean, what song is this anyway?
Diggity dog. This is from
Who is it?
No Way Out. You ever play No Way Out on the Nintendo?
No.
Yes, you did. Like, yes, you did. What are you talking about?
What is it? WCW?
It was the WWF game, but
no.
There's no way you didn't play. WWF. Whoa.
No, we were only WCW back in the day.
Interesting. All right. Yeah. Well, you missed out.
The boys. You see, again, it's a shame you didn't grow up like with me, like at William Patterson, like if that was even possible at that time, because like we didn't have really the internet yet. There's no internet gaming, but just picture this in a dorm with, you know, hundreds and hundreds of kids. Like, we would have out the N64, which had four paddles that you could attach, and my room would be, like, out the door. Like, it was like a pickup game. Like, two guys stayed on the paddle if you couldn't beat them to get in there, and we would just run the table for, like, hours at a time. It was a wild time to be alive when, if you want to talk about wrestling's apex, it was in the mid to late 90s. It was out of control, outrageous, and those games were included there. And I feel like you would have fit right in there, loving every minute of, like, skipping class because we got to get a 2-on-2 right now. Like, right now, I don't care about class. We got to play.
Boys are dialed on Fortnite. I thought about skipping this show, get a couple games in.
It's true. I mean, people were saying, like, Kevin's been skipping all week. Like, what's the deal at this point? Right now? All right. We got plays to give out tonight, Kevin. As I was telling you earlier, do you know who I really like tonight? It's the USC Trojans tonight. Going up against Washington State. I don't even like USC as a team overall. Winners of the last two or three games, lost to Colorado's that only loss in double overtime. Getting healthy at the right time. Collier, Boogie Ellis, you know, Bronny James, I don't know what's he scored, like 2 points a game. Like, insignificant. Yep. But that's not even why I like the game. I think USC matches up very well here, Kevin, particularly as an offensive standpoint. But defensively, they're a perfect match to stop Washington State. Will they win? I don't know, Kevin. But I'm taking the 7 points. How do you like that?
There you go. All right, rooting it in, plus the 7. Donnie's on Bronny.
Tomorrow, it's March. For JP, Donnie, and Kevin, thanks for tuning into a Thursday edition. We'll be back on a Friday. See you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.